Yeah, please. I don't ever want to see that much forehead. Come on, Todd. Is it a Jersey thing? All right. You know he's from Jersey.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a sin. I tease him a lot.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
Guys, Comedy Store Podcast, I know we're filming Between Two Plants or whatever they are, and we have the great Steve Simone with us today. I'm so excited to have you because I was thinking I need positivity in my life.
What's going on?
You're very positive, and I like
that. People tell me that.
People tell me that. No, they do because you are positive, but you exude it. I don't know if you know that.
But I just remember my brother, like when my podcast first came out, my older brother was like, yeah, all these people are saying you're positive. They don't know you yet. They don't know you yet.
Well, yeah, my brothers, I mean, your family, nobody knows you better than.
Yeah.
They know all the mess.
They're the only people like where I realize I don't break anybody's balls. Like I don't make fun of anybody. I don't break anybody's balls. But the second I get home, I break everybody's balls because it's family. Yeah, it's weird.
But wait, you don't do it to other people too? See, I do it to everybody. I think that's the only way I know how to show love. I don't know how to do it otherwise. Did you want a hug? I'm sorry, let me shit on you first for 10 minutes. I don't know, it's just how they talk.
Hugs help if you want to try to get more positive. You know, I didn't hug anybody until the late great Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Really?
Yeah, he would always hug and he'd be like and I'd be like, dude, what are you?
I'm a hugger. I think my mom.
I am a hugger.
Yeah, my mom was a good hugger, and my grandma was always like, "Come here," and you just nestle.
My mom hugs are what gets me through bad days. I remember them. There's not a day that goes by. I was talking to my mom this week where I don't think of something my grandmother cooked.
Interesting.
Every day, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Did you go to her house every Sunday?
Every Sunday.
It's amazing.
And usually Wednesdays too, when we were real little.
Okay. That makes sense. Did she live close?
Yeah. She was up there.
Right up here.
Every once in a while, we get to go to the bazaar and eat a Bernie's pretzels.
My favorite thing that I've been seeing all over the internet today is if you swim in Belmar Lake, you will not contact the coronavirus. And I'm like,
makes me think of that Joey Diaz joke.
What?
Where he goes, I can't say what he says the first part.
Please.
He goes, and I swam in the Hudson. I'm never getting the flu. Funniest guy ever.
I love that. Yeah. No, I read it today and I just giggled because I was like, oh my God, Belmar. And that made my stomach turn. Dude, we used to go in there. Did you go to Belmar?
No.
Oh, you
had savages.
It's just a South Philly thing?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Delco. Come on.
Delco went where? Nicer places.
Well, yeah, we would always go to different parts of the Jersey Shore. And then, like, I remember my parents, like, going on vacation, and they didn't want to run into our neighbors and stuff. They're like, it's got to be vacation. And then, like, we would go to Delaware beaches. My dad was the first, like, this feels like a real vacation. You don't know anybody here.
Oh, yeah. My dad lives in Rehoboth.
Yeah. But it was before, like, this is like early 80s, maybe even the late 70s. Because I remember when Atlantic City started to jump. Is Rick here?
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Rick. Look, he's going to give him a hug. Guys, how exciting. I think this camera is on no one, Rick. That is. You see that? Yeah, maybe we should. Is that camera on no one?
What we should do is
it looks like maybe
that be the close-up of my smile.
Have you seen
it's for
Rick?
Something you fucking weirdos.
We don't know what it is. There it is. Is that good, Mike?
Please tell me you have a close-up of Rick's smile.
Oh my God, it's
I'd
a
buy
constant.
That as a shirt.
Oh, Rick, you should. It's my favorite mean mug of Rick.
I'm just always having
Hi.
A good time.
How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be better.
Right. Well, I got Steve here for positivity, so let's work on that.
Okay, we'll bring him down.
That's what
not a problem. We can do it.
Guys.
That should be easy. What if we turn you by the end of the podcast?
Did you remember one of my my favorite sitcom ever was Three's Company.
Okay.
And there's a classic episode when Jack was really depressed and Ralph Furley tried to cheer him up because Jack was just going to leave. He was like giving up all of his dreams. And then Mr. Furley so depressed and he goes, Jack, if you can wait until tomorrow, I'll pack my bags and go with you. Yes. It was the best.
Full turnaround.
Yeah, the greatest. I'm already having fun just because now it's way more fun because now everybody's hanging out.
Well, because now it's like a real hangout.
Yeah.
Before it was just you and I awkwardly talking and staring at each other
and
talking about creepy beaches.
The beach was good.
Guys.
I remember. I do remember this. A gay guy hitting on my dad.
Oh my God!
In Rehoboth. It was like that. He was like, I bet this guy was so friendly.
That's where my dad lived.
It was the best. He was like, so I'm sitting at the bar, you know, having a vacation beer. And this guy just sits up and he starts chatting me up. He buys me a beer. Somebody bought me something. Right?
Loving life.
He was loving it. And he's like, there's this boy on the beach. Supposed to be fantastic. Roast beef. Babe, we're going to have to check it out. Anyway, this guy was really understanding. and he's like, there's my buddy. And then he like lays down on a blanket and makes out with the dude. My dad's like, okay.
It was the greatest. Wait a second. We went to San Francisco once. It was like the first time the Royals played in San Francisco.
Dude, great is it, by the way,
family?
When you get to watch your baseball team? I don't know why, but it's just more magical when you get to see them on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, this is like early 2000s. And
She's with you?
Caesar couldn't go. He was cooking in the fry back then. Eli? It was me, Eli. My brother was out visiting.
Funston?
And his friend Woody.
I love your brother, by the way.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite people.
Great dude.
You know why? Because he's got one of those faces that like always looks like it's about to laugh.
Right.
They're my people like this. They're like waiting for it. They're my favorite people in life.
Yeah, he was the master.
The opposite of Rick.
Of ruining every family photo.
Your brother?
Because he was always in wait, and as soon as they'd go.
See, he's always up for laughs.
Always like, and then back then, you know, it wasn't a fucking digital camera.
Right.
So we waited 2 weeks for that Easter photo to come back, and then it was, Jim! I didn't know. It must have accidentally happened.
We tortured photographers as kids. I would never smile.
Yeah.
Come on, smile. And I'm like, how about if I don't?
Sorry, creep.
Yep.
What are you gonna jerk off to this? I ain't smiling for you.
You don't remember if I ever had a professional
picture.
Keep
it to yourself, photographer Sobel.
Do you really have professional people come to your house and take a picture?
No, we'd go
or
to
you
Sears.
Go somewhere. See, I remember Sears.
Sears. And they'd pull down the fall foliage.
Yeah.
The autumn leaves, and the three of us you're all gonna wear the same color shirt.
Oh.
And then we'd lean on the post.
Yeah,
I'm sure my mom did that at some point. I remember my best friend worked at Sears and she took pictures of babies. It was awful.
Did her last name end in a vowel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My parents still have photos hanging up in their living room of us all in our white button downs and jeans. No shoes on.
That was a classic of the suburbs.
I hate that picture.
Yeah.
No shoes. I'll kill somebody.
I had you know, sweet, spiky, blonde hair.
Who started that? Cindy Crawford? I hate that shit.
I don't know who started it, but we got in on it.
Oh, God.
Talk about perfection. We nailed it.
You should sell that as merch. Take that picture, have it ironed on shirts. Yeah, awkward family photos. For
awkward
merch.
Family photos. Yeah. We have one, all 10 of us. I think we needed it for school. Like, they were like, oh, you have to have a picture of your brothers
likely,
and sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, it was most likely done by the police department for identification purposes.
Inappropriate, Rick. Yeah. That's not true. My mom was in this picture.
Oh, okay.
Your mom, sweetest woman
the
ever.
The sweetest lady. And she's sitting there, and all 10 of us are around her. And I remember my brother Billy naturally torturing someone. And Edie has her elbow ready. This is the picture. It's Edie about to hit and Bobby
That's
just being
That's the picture?
Like, yeah, I'll
was
show
Jimmy
it to you
the
after.
Enforcer of your... siblings?
Jimmy? Yeah. And then Charlie was miserable because Billy was just torturing him. That's his job. Yeah. Billy and I tortured everyone.
Okay.
Which is not good. That's why I moved away because I feel bad.
So
I'm kidding.
Far away.
But Edie and Bobby.
Doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore?
You know that song?
I have no idea what's going
on. I love depressing music. Dude, if you want to feel better when you go home tonight.
You just gave me a flashback.
Go on to YouTube and just find the most depressing music ever and read the comments. YouTube comments on depressing songs make you feel so connected. Okay. It's the greatest. Yeah.
Do you remember when Steve Simone was a manager here?
No, it was before my time. He was just Steve Simone. Days.
I would walk into the office, the manager's office. Doesn't anybody?
I would listen to the Coast. It was the only way that kept my blood pressure down. Because you know they used to
like,
the armies.
Happening?
They always used to say that U.S. Army, the toughest job you'll ever love. I used to say managing the Comedy Store, the easiest job you'll ever hate. I hated managing this place.
Oh, wouldn't I did it one day. It's the worst fucking thing to ever do.
If they're hiring, I'll take a crack at it.
You know what? They are, Rick.
Dude, you would be perfect. I'll run this fucking club. You know what I mean?
People... I just imagine you as Niedermeyer. Straighten the cap. Tuck in that shirt. Like, he would be the best ball breaker micromanager.
Dude, people would respect the shit out of me.
Easily.
That's for sure.
That's a fact.
First thing I do, obviously, get Hatchell back.
And his religion?
Someone who can crack some skulls.
Okay, okay.
With the religion comes the followers. That's
perfect.
Just free.
Did Hatchell start a religion?
I think so.
Yeah, that was the rumor.
Well, he made me come and do a video, and I was like, anything for you. And then he's like, if I had a religion, would you follow me? And I'm like, I'd follow you anywhere. And I did this video. I thought it was comedy.
Yeah.
And then he opened and then he started a fucking religion. He probably used it. And I
Why
was like,
do
this
I imagine
maniac.
Him smoking a cigar right now, just counting cash? And he's like,
it's him and Brian Dennehy for some reason. Is he alive? He might be dead.
I hope so.
Was Brian Dennehy the bad sheriff in Rambo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the
so
dad
hot.
And Tommy Boy.
Yes. He looked like a guy my
Tommy
mom
Boy.
Was dating. And
really?
We used to be like, oh, Brian Dennehy's coming.
What's his
over.
Name, Kevin?
No, his name was Jack.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? You want him to be Kevin? I like that.
I don't know. I just pulled it out of nowhere. I was like, if I'm right, everybody's going to think I'm
cool. He's like
so
that John
smart.
Edward guy.
Oh, you know what is weird about psychic abilities?
Okay.
Back in September, beginning of the hockey season, I woke up from a dream and I called my brother and I said, I just had a dream the Flyers were going to win the Stanley Cup.
Whoa, and they are coming back heavy right now.
You should have dropped a bet. You should have bet on it. And I'm like, wow. Then it wouldn't have happened.
Your poor brother.
I don't follow
hockey.
He
doesn't talk like that,
does he? But now that he has four kids, I just give him my dad's voice. Because he's slowly turning into my dad, and it's great.
That's great. Beautiful.
You don't like hockey?
I don't care for it in the slightest.
Okay.
Oh, we didn't get your Royal story.
Oh, right.
In San Francisco.
San Francisco. Thank you.
So we went up to San Francisco, and you know, we're walking around the stadium before the game. It's our first time there, and it's right, you know, right on the bay, and it's real cool. And we're kind of standing out in, I guess it's right field is where you can hit home runs over that into the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're just kind of standing over there watching the field while they warm up or whatever. And, a couple of gentlemen kind of wander over and stand next to us. And I, you know, I can't be 100%, but I kind of get the feeling that these guys are into the fellas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lighten the loafers.
Yeah,
if
a little
you will.
Bit. They're, you know,
something my dad would say.
Silly boys, as okay. You know, generations of past would say. And one of them was
ticklish.
clearly hitting on my brother's friend Woody.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And Woody's just oblivious to it. Oh man, well it's so great out here. And he's like, yeah, it's great, and I only live a couple blocks away, so you know, right after the game, you can always just, you know, go have, you know, after party. He's like, oh man, that sounds awesome.
Everybody here's so friendly.
We're just like,
it's just Woody and your dad in the apartment. Oh,
you guys have a pinball machine. Let me call your mother. Babe. Babe. Do you have any quarters left in the car?
I don't know why.
You're not gonna believe this.
I make your dad like Family Guy.
Yeah.
Dad.
He's so similar.
Like, just gets into the dumbest, craziest shit. I love that.
No, he was just the best.
That's fun. That's fun stuff.
A lot of laughs.
Right? Did you guys go to that apartment?
No,
after?
We didn't.
Liars.
We eventually started trying to get Woody to realize what was going on. And then we're like,
were you just like,
yeah, I'm like, Woody. What? I said, dude, we got to go. Come on, let's go get our seats. He's like, all right, hey, maybe we'll see you guys later on. I'm like, dude, that guy was trying to fuck you. He was? And then we're like waiting in line to get food like 5 minutes later. And hey, I wonder if the tuna rolls are good. I'm like, you're at a baseball stadium, man. Probably just stick to the basics.
Yeah.
I saw the Phillies play Dodgers.
Yeah, it's the best.
Very exciting. But also before the game, this was like early 90s, they did an old-timers game. And I was with my first ex-fiancé, and his uncle was Ralph Branca.
That's
so
incredible.
I got to see all those guys.
Brooklyn Dodgers? Reeves.
Yep, yep.
Do you remember, who was there? Which Dodgers?
Pee Wee Reeves.
Was Duke Snyder there?
Good question. I don't remember.
Legend.
I remember the name, but I don't remember if he was
Willie Mickey
there.
The Duke.
Because I was more excited to see the Phillies.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. Yeah, his uncle's playing. And I was like, oh, yeah. You know, watching the, like, Sandy Koufax, all these guys came out. And, like, just a
maybe the best
old timers.
Pitcher ever.
Yeah. So it was cool. Like, I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then I was like, oh, look over there. Like, it was the most exciting to see them on the road and then be on the
it's
field.
The great, oh, lucky ducky.
Well, when you sleep around properly.
I got to go on the field with the late Brody Stevens.
You got it.
Yes.
Illegally with fake passes that were from like 2 months earlier. He just gave it to me and I go, this is April 30th. And this is like end of July.
Yeah.
Goes, they won't check if you act like you know what you're doing. I'm like, oh, okay. We walked down to the field and the security guard recognized Brody and just opened the gate for him.
Wow.
Yes, how are you today? This is my buddy Rick. We're here with our field passes. Then we're just walking around. We go down and talk to the Dodgers, Ethier, and some of the guys for a little bit. And then it started because I'd said, hey, I got to meet that Brian Wilson guy, the closer for the Giants, who's
so
super
great.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go this weekend. I'm like, really? So we go over and we start talking to the Giants, and they're all loving Brody. Lincecum, all these guys are coming over. Hey, yeah, I remember you from Best Day on Sports Show.
Yes, they recognize me.
And so they're all walking around trying to make Brody laugh, and I just find it so funny. I'm just like, this is the best. These guys are all coming over. And,
oh, wait, where'd you go to high school?
And Lincecum tells me, he's like,
that's right. There's a Red Robin.
Yeah, there is.
I know because I used to eat there.
I remember I had like a it was a notch below PA on the ESPYs.
Okay.
My job was just like getting people in and out of cars.
Right.
And like for 3 days you would just stand around and like
doesn't Richie do that or Richie hire people for that or something
know.
Along those lines? Yeah.
But
I remember that.
But it was like when Wilson was the first guy in Major League Baseball with the beard,
yeah.
And it was like the peak of his powers. And I remember coming back doing a spot at the store after one of the slow days, and I'm like, I saw your buddy Brian Wilson. And he was like, did you tell him we were friends?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. And he was like, he knows me, right? So the next day was like the day of the award show, and he was like wearing a ridiculous like duck suit or something like that. And then I was putting him into a car, and as I closed the door, I just went, yes. And he was like, do you know Brody? And I went, enjoy it. And he loved it. He was like, no, I said hi. And he drove off. Yeah. And then I told Brody, he's like,
I told you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they all loved him. I was like, this is great. We walked back over to the Dodger side, and a bunch of the players were standing there just mugging Brody.
That he was flirting with the other team.
Brody, what were you doing, man?
Yeah, what? I represent Major League Baseball. I don't play for one team.
Mattingly's like, this is when Mattingly was the coach. He's like, Brody, I don't think you can probably come around the locker room because we don't know where your loyalty is like.
My loyalty is to Major League Baseball, Don.
Don. Can you imagine yelling at Don Mattingly? Don.
Giving Don Mattingly the business.
Yeah.
And the hours I spent going through piles of baseball cards from Mattingly rookies.
Yeah.
That was the first chase card of my life.
Wow. Damn. I remember that he had Justin Turner. Did I say Jason? My brain is dead. Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw.
Dude, I remember he brought.
They were all upstairs,
yeah.
And I was take your clothes off. I'm so excited about this. And so, Ronnie, my ex, was with me, and he's such a big Dodgers fan. Like he was literally shaking, saying hi to them, and I'm like, of course I'm bragging about my nephew because at the time he was playing for
I just saw he
WCW.
Smashed a dinger in a spring training.
Yes, Yes.
Incredible.
He said he's been hitting really well. He's like I talked to him when I was in Florida. He was very positive. So I was excited.
And he's in the Twins organization?
Right now he's in spring training for them.
That's incredible.
So it's really good. And they keep moving him around, which is good because last year they brought up a kid that's a center fielder as well for the Twins. And Jimmy plays center field, but they keep moving him to right because they're like, oh, this kid's killing the ball. So they want his bat for
Maybe the Phillies could make a move for him. All right, if my dad listens to that. That was the exact thought in his head.
I remember telling Turner that little Jimmy was with VCU. He goes, don't worry, he'll be fine. He'll get in. And I was like, oh, that's good. Because he was at Temple, but then Temple canceled the baseball program.
They did?
It was years ago.
Cosby's cash ran out. And
probably.
We've got to pay for the living and the sleeping problem. And then the baseball team.
How did he say it? We
got the sleeping woman over here with the Z and I.
Harry Carey and Bill Cosby.
I think so.
That's the greatest. Remix. We should just set up turntables and put one celebrity here and another one, and then Rick does a mashup.
It's like Tommy Clifton.
Do you have to do that? That's the perfect.
Have you heard Tommy Clifton?
No,
you've heard that.
No, I have not.
Let's say, said it doesn't matter. The building has to like you.
That's Tony Clifton and Tommy Mars for the listeners at home.
Finally, someone put them together.
Did you ever hear Mike Black's Mitzi story?
Which one?
When she wasn't doing well, but she was here at the club.
Okay.
And he was like, if people don't think Mitzi was a legend, he was like, she couldn't come down the steps. She was up in her office or something like that.
Okay.
And helping her down the steps was Andrew, like in his full leather, and Tony Clifton. And they were both walking her. And he was like, two of the most iconic people in comedy, like in their character things, not being in character with her.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
real deal. Mitzi was the real deal.
I wonder if that was the same night that Dice and Clifton were in the parking lot screaming at each other.
I guarantee it.
You stole my whole act, Clay.
Did that really happen?
No one stole your act. You're just an Andy Kaufman ripoff. Don't you dare say that name to me. I'm just screaming at each other. I'm just sitting in the back door like,
can you imagine?
This is such a great night.
The best night ever.
There's six people total in the building.
Yeah.
And two legends are just screaming at each other for nobody.
It's so crazy to have been on this Comedy Store journey.
I know it.
And to be here right now while it's like insane, busy.
Yeah.
Because we would only hear like legends of, oh my God, the boom, the 80s boom, and it was so busy and it was so this. And now it's like we're witnessing a bigger one. I don't know if it's bigger or better. I don't know. I'm just glad it's happening.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to be here.
Yeah.
I'm excited that comedy has exploded the way it has, and I have reaped none of the benefits from it.
I know you're
Desperado.
It feels good to see so many untalented people fly by.
Let's do your mashup impressions, and then we'll put together a Twitch channel. One of the kids was trying to explain that.
Okay,
to me.
I'm proud of you.
This will get me at least an audition for Mad TV 3.
These people and just have
why
do
don't we
impressions.
Just include it?
Could you like do you mash up anybody else?
I don't have any idea.
I'm not creative enough to give you a suggestion.
Yeah, I don't know.
We can do a mashup show and sell it to Quibi.
Listen,
do you know what Quibi is?
I don't know what that is either.
It's a new channel.
Is it a network? Because I only work the networks.
Okay, Argus.
10-minute
shows. Yeah.
Check me out on UPN.
Hey, Argus.
It's going to be me and on the WB. I'm doing a whole new, it's a Superman the geriatric years.
No, I don't.
So
who bought that?
Who would you mash up with Argus? Who do you think would be like a good
drunk Argus and sober Argus?
God, that's just frightening. No one wants to see sober Argus. The Comedy Store tonight has proven that.
Does anybody have the headphones on in there?
Oh no, he's doing it.
I'm doing it for the camera.
Hilarious.
Letting the people know.
We torture.
I was told not to talk negatively about the Comedy Store tonight with Argus
sister
Hamilton.
Sister channel. I mean,
I love that show. Have you done it?
No.
Sadly, yes.
You've never done it?
No.
Al, you'd be the best. I'd be such a good
I don't want to brag, but I did it with Bruce Baum. And
Bruce Babyman Baum?
We had Bruce Babyman Baum on this show.
We received
yes.
Really?
He's great.
We received a letter from
I want to meet
him. Oh, yeah, we got in trouble.
Lawyer
about
for
Bruce.
Interviewing Bruce Baum and mentioning that he was one of the co-writers of the Letters from a Nut books.
Mm.
But apparently the other co-writers are trying to cut him out of some deals or something.
Oh boy.
I hate this town.
Showbiz.
I hate how evil people are. I hate that greed kicks in. It does it in every aspect. Anytime money's presented, it doesn't have to be show business. It just is so ridiculous that.
Another form of fear. That's what I realized.
Right, but when
is.
Somebody puts their heart in something, like I don't know the truth. Whatever happened with Bruce, I know he's a nice guy, and he doesn't seem like he's. Lying, right?
Yeah.
And why would he? Like, why, if he really had
Woody.
Nothing to... That's Rick's friend.
Good callback.
Thank you. I got it. But why
whenever stuff gets serious like this, it makes me uncomfortable and sad. And like, even like when I was a kid and there would be like an emotional point in a movie, I would just have to start making fun of something because I'm not good with emotions. And like this.
You get scared of it?
Old Yeller's getting ready to die. News is hot dogs go to heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I bet that comes out later. All dogs go
to heaven. If he was a cat, he'd have eight more lives, guys. Shut up. You're ruining it.
Harris Pete was the first to inform me that Bruce Baum was one of the co-writers. And this was before there was any dispute.
Right.
Me and Freddie Lockhart were talking about the books, and he was like, what are you talking about? Like, sorry,
I
Mr.
miss
Pete,
Harris
I didn't mean
so
to...
much.
Okay.
He
well,
did the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to watch that episode.
Okay.
He did give us a ton of okays.
I mean, yeah,
which
so
I love.
Tell us about the Letterman Leno here at the same time. Okay. Well, and then he'd go right into it. He's like all
he
jolly
great.
And happy now. It's
he was
crazy.
Great. Yeah,
I talked
Rick
to him on
was
the phone.
Shocked.
I was on the road when he was here, and I miss everything.
Yeah, and they
like,
brought him
it
in.
It really
to,
is. I miss everything.
They brought him in for the documentary, and then
perfect.
Was
he
that
definitely should be
what he
that.
Was here for? I think.
Yeah.
Or was it what, something else? Yeah.
No,
okay.
Was
it was
what,
just that.
Yeah, he was here for that. You know, there was probably a, so. Tell us about how Peter turned the club around.
Did you do the documentary?
Mm-mm.
That's ridiculous.
No. Nope.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I have to tell him about your managing and your... Oh, God, we're being interrupted.
Hi,
gorgeous.
Annie.
Look at this, guys. Annie Letterman just pops in, shows us all
Damn.
Up, shows us how hot she is. Love.
Damn.
There you go.
Did you ever figure out who
That'll
CK was?
That'll get us
was?
Some ratings.
Ratings.
Lance Constopoulos.
Oh, yeah. Fahim.
Everyone was freaking out because I'm on the lineup and before me on the lineup is LC.
That's what Everyone's we thought,
like,
yeah.
Is it Louis CK? Is it...
I said,
like, I'll go through all the LCs.
I sent Adam a text. I'm like, I can't figure it out who's LC. And he told me that I'm just like, we've all been had.
I know. It just was a. It was
like,
a,
why wouldn't you just
but
write
But by
that?
The way, I haven't seen Lance in a long
I'm
time, and I'm
Lance
excited to see
if
him.
If he starts getting more spots than me again, I will be better. When the character gets more spots, you're like, it's not a real person. This isn't okay.
I love you.
Did
I
you
miss
tell you.
You
about the show you did? The regulars?
No. We didn't even get to that.
That
yet.
Okay, we're going to get to
so
that.
There's so many
pimp out topics.
There's
okay, go.
So many people from Philly in this room. It's
Oh
disgusting.
My God, that's the whole
oh God,
thing.
That's
yes.
True.
Let's speed up Kansas.
Fish
just for fun.
Out of water over here.
What?
Also, you have a drippy eye and it's making me think you have
Leave him alone. He has an issue.
It's
I think
true.
I know what it is. It's poopy eye.
It's always
is that what it's
poopy
called?
Eye.
Pink eye is poopy eye.
Yeah, but pink eye doesn't last this long.
I have,
he's
a,
had it for
I have a clogged
2 months.
Tear duct. I have
no,
to have surgery
have
at the
a,
end of the month.
Oh, it's a surgery?
See?
Yeah.
Well, Steve, you have to do a fundraiser for him. All Steve Jeez. Does is fundraisers. You have to be a child, though. You have to be a sickly child.
Well, I got to work with
the elders.
Yeah, that was
You have to be a sickly child.
They,
Annie, that's terrible to
it's
say.
True. I went on a date with a guy who, all he was a musician, and he always posted pictures of him with, like, sick kids. I was like... Do I have to be a kid with cancer to get a second date? And I guess I did. I guess I did.
Was it Steve?
It was Steve. Every day.
Some of that Philly love.
Fucking Delco, man. They're bougie like
You're
that.
Delco, dude. You're
See?
WT, dude. You're double.
Full blown WT. Full blown.
Whoa. You guys are doing local humor. I don't
White
understand.
Trash.
Area code jokes in the biz.
I'm sorry about your tear duct.
Yeah.
The podcast, nobody would have known.
See? Well.
They know because we brought it up for 2.5 months
Well, you
now.
Know what's wrong?
I've been to 5 eye doctors
it's
before someone was like, oh, this is what's going on.
Because you have repressed emotions. The Lord's
you know what it
cry.
Is? It's positivity seeping out. The last of it is coming out of his eyes.
Honestly, I think it's gonorrhea.
That's very possible. I'm one of the only guys out there doing eye to puss. And...
Ooh, yeah.
Eye to ass. Would you do eye to ass? Do you do ass
eat
eating?
Who
millennial?
Does do that? Blue eye to brown eyes is what I call it.
Don't you make my brown eyes blue.
If you look close enough, they all look brown.
That's so gross. I can't believe you found a sad song to sing about such a fun thing.
Dude, I'm serious. Sad songs, if you read the comments on YouTube, they make you feel better.
If you want to feel better, all you have to do is read the comments on the new soup. Online.
Oh my God! Are they being mean?
For this one, I might be sitting down.
You want it? You can sit
now.
Let's
what?
Pull that around.
That we're both having right now.
Wait a minute. Pull that around, then. I feel bad.
It's just
don't let Steve.
Can I just
stand?
Say when something's about to come out,
Steve?
And you know it's not going to be a thing, but the person thinks it's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not nice. Is that on? I don't know if anybody's over there.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead. It isn't for me. Go ahead. Get in there.
There's just a lot of there's a lot of online hate for that show, and it's funny to witness.
I don't read comments. I'm afraid
no.
of it. So are they
the only one I read is when like Jim Croce comments.
Okay.
That's it. Makes me feel better.
Really?
Mm.
They're positive?
Yeah.
Okay.
I read... comments. I read your comments. Your comments.
Oh,
your comments. I read
not.
All
oh,
comments. I compare
no.
comments.
I'm not strong enough.
He doesn't have a mic.
He is not going to be on the audio, and he's not in the video.
Okay,
right.
Well,
that's fine.
Gotta,
no, stay.
So
no, you come.
No,
back.
It's more fun.
No, just move over
for you to not be on the show. You're so
no,
nice.
Steve,
you got to
yes.
stop this behavior, Steve. Now that is that's what we call
how's
in podcasting
that?
Cuck behavior.
Any better?
It's good for the video, but he won't be on the audio.
No, he's
going to
split a
mic.
Thing. They're going to have to get so close that he's going
to
have a...
Boys to men, though.
Two dudes, one mic. It's new video.
Can I just say it would be so much harder if it was
me
and Eleanor?
Do you want Annie and I to share?
Oh.
Annie and I to share? I want to make out with
you
them.
You just won't come back to me,
will you? Oh, no, we've gone. Oh, my God, that's so Philly.
That's all we were
get
doing.
Get closer to the mic. Don't be homophobic.
Felicia's pointing. I don't know what's happening. She's just getting angry.
I fucked this up.
Look how hot Felicia is.
Are you guys mad at me?
Todd's furious.
Todd, are you mad at me?
Todd, why are you so angry?
Todd, stop yelling at me.
What the fuck, Todd? God
Todd,
damn.
Fuck
this,
you.
Like, this Tonight Show
he's so sweet.
That we do on Saturday Night Live when Farley would come out as Tom DeLuise and pee his pants. So the best way just comes out.
Who can deal with that?
That Dom DeLuise, Farley's Dom DeLuise laugh. If
yeah, that's solid.
Yeah, it's like Prozac.
Oh my God, you're just looking for things to make you happy all day. It's
but
so
no, he
cute.
Has things that make him happy. Like, are you good at that?
Saving children.
Saving children is one thing, but look, see how sensitive he gets?
I know,
he's a good
he's
guy.
So sensitive. Sometimes I want to see his web browser history, but...
I don't know what that
Annie?
Means.
Annie?
But can we all agree that the great thing in the world right now is that coronavirus is taking out old people? You know, I think that's a generation that we could do without. So,
is that a boomer thing, or is that?
Oh, big time.
By the way,
we're losing boomers.
I said to Dice, "You're a boomer, right?" And he goes, "What does that mean?" And I go, "Like a baby boomer." And he goes,
"No, he's a bomber."
He goes, "They knew I was going to have kids." And I was like, "No, that's not what it means at all." Like,
and you were like, "Okay."
He's a baby boomer. He's that age, right?
Yeah,
the 60.
I don't know. Are you scared to say his age out loud?
No, 62. He says it all the time, but 62. I'm like trying to think of when.
How old is his girlfriend?
She's great. She's
how old is she?
How old? 45.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn, girl.
Y'all thought she was young, huh?
I don't know who she is.
Oh, he puts pictures of her.
She's
up.
So cute.
She's really cute. I met her on the Impractical Jokers cruise, and I hooked them
really?
Up.
Oh, really? Was she just on there to watch comedy?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
She works for Pandora, so she's really cool.
And where does she live?
Not here.
Oh, we don't say where she lives.
I know. I think I already said too much, but we'll see what happens.
Okay, yeah. We're in trouble.
Speaking of cruise ships, how about this one off of San Francisco? It's filled with coronavirus.
Hey, oh, that's weird that you brought it back to that.
I just can't get enough of plagues.
It's weird that it's a heavily populated Asian area.
What kind of comments are on the coronavirus cruise? Is it all Donald Trump?
Trump, I feel like Trump is just amazing. You know, I hate to talk politics here, but
he is our king, our leader.
Trump's
our
mathematics, and they said, "What do you want to do about the people on the cruise ship?" And he said, "I think it would be best if they just stayed on the cruise ship, because if we bring them in to the land, then that's going to double the amount of cases in America." Like, he's so dumb. He thinks as long as they stay on the boat, the statistic doesn't count for America, and that makes him look better. Like, that's what he's literally thinking. Let him die on the boat as long as I don't get a few more notched on my fucking watch.
Did you see the...
Who would you mix up your Trump with?
Oh, that's good.
I don't know.
Who's a good politician that you do?
What about Argus and Trump?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Nobody can hear Steve. I'm getting out of here.
No.
I just want to say this. I just want to leave this. Did you see the article of the guy jumping out of the boat? There was a comic on one of the cruises. I don't know who it was, but he got in trouble for they quarantined the boat and he tried to swim out.
A comic?
Yeah, it was one of the comics on the cruise.
Please tell me who it was. I don't know
who it was, but honestly, I've bombed hard on a cruise and I understand that feeling. I'm like,
I'd be like,
I gotta
all
get
right,
the fuck off this boat.
I bombed and I spread the coronavirus, so I gotta go. I gotta go.
I don't know who jumped off the boat, but if history repeats, I think we all know it was probably Jonathan Gottsick. Am I right?
Rick,
who's with me?
No one gets that reference except me, I think.
Steve was on the bus. So.
I even know who that is.
Nice. No, I didn't know who it is, but I'm going to leave and thank you for letting me stop by, even though I didn't let you let me. You guys are great.
Thank you for stopping by.
Steve, you're the best. That's a cook. She's clearly out of her mind. I love it.
I like her.
She's so funny. She's
And she's really nice, too.
Shit, what part of Philadelphia did it again?
I think she's from like Northeast or like Abington. No, wait.
God
Langhorne,
damn it. Now I lost it.
Yeah.
Ask her where she's from. I forgot again. And she's going to yell
it's
at me.
It's north of the city. Where's Sesame Place? I think it's Langhorne. I think she's from
that area.
Yeah,
I'm from South Philly. I know where Sesame Place is. It's right up the street from me.
Did you ever go to Crystal Cave?
No. My favorite thing is right now in Philadelphia, South Philly specifically, there is a new thing. Ben Salem.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Salem.
Is that where she's from?
Ben Salem. I'm trying to get Josh, but he's just ignoring me. And so...
he just gave you the thumbs up.
He's a fucking idiot. I just wanted to ask you a question, but you're not listening.
Oh,
where is she from, Ben Salem?
Hey, we're...
This is dead air. It's not good.
I don't know where she's from. Where did she go? She left.
She ran up the steps. She runs quick. Well, now that we don't.
She's like, I just want to sabotage the podcast real quick and
it's
then
who
leave.
She is.
That's it. She's a kamikaze for
I think it's Ben
comedy.
Salem. Because
she's gone, guys.
She's a Quaker.
We'll track her down.
She's Quaker.
A Quaker?
Yes.
I never would have guessed.
That's
which is
racist.
So scary, right? And so, anyway, you're the racist. Rick gets all excited. So, in South Philly, there's been a spike in crime, like dumb
nice.
Shit, some crazy. But
the Kerrigans are back at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, how dare you? The young ones are coming up. No, so it's like because there's so much drugs and shit. Like people are breaking into cars.
Okay,
and just like
stealing
whatever.
That wouldn't have happened during Frank Rizzo's raid. I'll tell you that.
That's my favorite part. So wait, do you have any idea who Frank Rizzo is?
Fuck no.
Okay, so
he's
he
tremendous.
Was probably one of the greatest. Just not
characters.
Yeah, he's not
a true American.
I can't say person because he's a little cooked out. Like he fucked up a lot of shit.
Video when they tried to like have a hidden camera outside of his house.
Yes,
and he calls the guy a crumb.
You're a crumb bum. You're nothing but a crumb bum.
He was like a Philadelphia he's a Philadelphia legend that was a police officer, became chief of police, then mayor. And like, there's like a legendary story, like a riot was breaking out when he was mayor, and he's like at a black tie gala. And there was like a police officer in uniform and he took the guy's nightstick and put it in his cummerbund thing in his tuxedo and took the first car to the front line of the riot.
He's crazy.
The best.
Full-blown crazy. So what happened is they started this South Philly Take Our Streets Back, which is kind of a good thing because when we were growing up, it was like all run by, like, it was a lot of mob in our area. So nobody,
I don't know what that is.
Nobody bothered anybody, even though we didn't know what it was or if it was real. For some reason, it kept the crime element.
Always does.
Between them and not everyone else, right? It was weird. Like, old ladies weren't getting mugged outside of the Acme, right? So I just did that for Steve. You have to do two. It's Acme, but we say Acme.
Did anybody call dibs on this water?
I don't know.
No, go for it.
Is it real water?
Am I allowed? So wait, so they get, yes, have it.
No, I'm not gonna have
it. It's closed.
I'm not taking the last one.
It's Steve, there's a whole bunch.
There's a refrigerator.
Anyway, Rick brought his own.
So yeah. I'm good.
So please drink the water.
What's going on with this guy?
He thinks we put coronavirus in it?
Could be.
No, it's just, it was here from the other podcast. They put him on the table.
Yeah, but what if it was somebody's and then they were like, who drank my water?
Josh, would you get us two waters, please?
No,
out of
no,
the
I'm good.
Fridge?
I'm fine. I'm good. No.
We have a refrigerator down here.
Get him a scotch.
Right there.
With snacks?
Well, that's
not good.
Remember
Revenge of the Nerds? We could get a little fridge for the way. Yeah, we could keep snacks in there.
How exciting is it to have a little fridge like in your room or something? For me, I don't know. I don't
fun
have,
size.
Very exciting. But wait, so they all came together and they started a Facebook group and they keep going on this group. You have to get on it. It's called South Philly Take Our Streets Back. And they're doing great things.
I'll read it with
but
you. I would be afraid to log in. They'd be like, you don't belong.
The comments are amazing. And they're like, all right, today at the meeting, nobody bring up Frank Rizzo. And I almost threw up.
Seriously, that...
Because that's where they go.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, when Frank Rizzo was running it, this didn't happen. Yeah, because he was a corrupt, crazy. He was a little corrupt.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A little bit. A little bit.
Ignorance is bliss.
First of all, corruption is really in the mind of the beholder.
But they're all corrupt, to be honest. Like, I'm not...
The system's corrupt.
Thank
right?
you. Thank you. You know what I mean. Like, look at Steve trying to be positive.
I just saw like, turn into Lionel Hutz. If this is corruption,
Your Honor.
Or Key Rock, the unfrozen caveman lawyer.
It's
your
just
strange ways.
Key Rock, Your Honor. And in my time, people counted more than a few ducks. And then the jury gives him a standing ovation.
Who used to break my older brother's balls when he had a mullet? We'd say he looked just like Key Rock. The unfrozen caveman lawyer.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank
sorry.
You so much.
He didn't believe that they were...
I didn't want to take somebody's water.
It's weird.
Thank you very much for
Thank
this.
Thank you,
Saturday
Josh.
Saturday Night Live was so much better then because...
It was funny.
Do
you watch now?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's unwatchable.
I've watched it twice this year. It's fucking horrible.
I can't even watch it
when there's a... like. I watched a little bit with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I saw that.
I did watch the highlights of that.
It was okay. There was maybe 7 minutes that was good.
Yeah, but like the level he was playing at, oh God, I don't want to make fun of anybody, but there's levels to funny.
Yeah. He was far surpassing the talent on the show.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even close.
Yeah. I saw like little bits and pieces, like the Mr. Robinson neighbor. Yeah. That was great with the gentrification.
His monologue was awesome.
Yes. His monologue was great.
This guy's a legend for a reason. Like,
right.
He's just...
Right.
Do you think he's going to come back to the Comedy Store?
Fuck,
do you think
no.
he's going to do stand-up again?
No.
I think like if he does do it, he has to. Didn't he make the deal for the... I think he made the deal with Netflix to do a special. So, but Eddie could just have people come to his house and perform. Like he don't have to...
Is that good?
Yeah. He could just be like, hey, grab a couple people you trust.
Yeah.
Have them come sit in the audience. And then he's maintained like friendships with obviously people he came up and younger comics coming up. A lot of them write for him. Yeah. So a lot of them worked with him over the years on different films or projects or whatever.
He ain't doing comedy again.
He already made the deal to do the special.
So do you think he'll go straight from...
Yeah, I don't think he's
going
to work it out.
I don't think it's going to happen. One, I don't think he needs that money. Two, I believe his deal is just a production deal. So it's that Dolomite thing was part of
but
it.
But by the way,
great,
excellent.
By the way, I loved
it. Did you see it?
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
I thought it was great.
There were some parts of it that were funny, and then parts of it I'm just like, they got to decide. Are they
funny.
Making a comedy?
You guys really
or
think he's not
going to
come do stand-up?
But I thought it was a mix of both.
I don't. There's parts of that doubt were good.
Because most people's comedic lives, like if they followed us around, it would be more tragedy than comedy, no? Well,
yeah, I mean, like that was part of the problem with...
I was kind of trying to do a bit.
If they followed me around, people would be like, okay, she needs to be institutionalized. Well,
that was
like,
part of the
I
problem
don't...
with I'm dying up here, was like, it should have just been a drama. But they kept trying to like make
it was a little one notey.
Yeah, they kept trying to like throw in like zingers to make like it's a comedy too though, and you're like, we're funny, but it's only funny because we're so fucked up. Like the conversations comics have with each other,
dark funny,
or not like zany like tag it.
Yeah, it's not like sitcom rhythm.
Yeah, it's like right. We're saying fucked up horrible things because none of us are real people.
Right. Well, so. We're too real.
Well, yeah.
We might be
real
too
people
real.
Are. You know, they're robotic. They're part of the system.
Yeah.
And we've either
regular
been kicked
people.
Out or defied the system. So
right. We
Do
don't
you really think we're that different.
We don't fit into the mold. I mean, think if you had to go to a cubicle.
No way.
Yeah. I can't.
You would
like,
snap. We'd be one of the snappers.
When I have to fucking hang out with civilians, I lose all. I'm just like, I start panicking. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And they talk about dumb shit and the. Tell you about the funny thing that they saw on some show that you know is fucking terrible.
Yeah. And you just envision yourself being set on fire. That's how I do
have
sometimes.
Have you ever seen, and you're like, oh God.
You know what you should try out for? You should really go out for that.
There was a funny bit on Jimmy Fallon the other night. And you're like, oh God, here it comes. It was a sketch.
Why
you know
are you pouring gasoline on yourself while
Should
I'm telling you
this?
Should
we do a Quibi show with Rick, like taking Julia to the park, and it's you interacting with other parents, and then it's just the internal monologue?
I already wanted to do a show like that. Remember? I wanted to do a because he's a stay-at-home dad, so it's like Mr. Mom the reboot.
Yes.
And then like his wife moved him out of... moved him all the way to Calabasas because they want normalcy for their child. And now he's corrupting the area. Mm-hmm. Right? Now he's corrupting the area because he's the dad.
We love the idea. Is there any way we could play Rick as a black character?
Could he be an Asian?
Hashtag Hollywood.
Like, it is messed up, but I think we could, like, my idea was to, like, him go into a coffee shop with Julia, like, trying to fit in with, all right, we got to get out of the house, and I don't know how to be. Yeah. He's not a good caregiver in that he's not, like, this overly nurturing guy. He's
you
like,
fed
yeah,
a
just
baby
do.
Chili?
Exactly. Exactly. And then he's there, and, like, Sam Tripoli's running the coffee shop, and, like, you know, you get all these different mix
or
of
comedy
people.
Dads at the park, where it's Tripoli with his twins.
It's mostly moms, but Rick's the only dude, and maybe one other dude, like, just works at the coffee shop that he's trying to bond with, and they don't want anything to do with him. Like, dude, you have to go sit with the moms kind of thing. Because you're like a mom. I don't know. I had this whole idea, and then we never worked on it. I forget what happened.
Could we make Rick transgender? Hashtag
we could
Hollywood.
Do that. We could have a transgender. We could have Joe Dosh. Fifi Dosh, excuse me.
Fifi.
Respect. Very
the
respect.
The artist formerly known as Joe.
Right. Yeah. Well, we could have Fifi play a mom, dad, whatever.
Inappropriate.
I'm so sorry.
I'm cut. I just got cut out of Hollywood.
Fifi
for that.
Would like it, and Fifi would be great.
I mean, my parenting is going great. I did have to go pick up Julia for the second time from preschool.
How old is she now? Three.
She's three.
What did she?
She pulled a classic Three Stooges move. She did not want to sit down for circle time.
Okay.
And so she ran over and sat down in a different section, told the teacher, I'm not sitting over there.
Right.
And then the teacher said, well, you need to come over here and sit. And she got up and ran over and just did a classic slap all the kids down the line. And then the teacher stopped her, and then she hit the teacher.
Hit the teacher?
Yeah, and then she said, we need to go to the office, because she loves the office. And so then they called and were like, hey, you gotta come pick her up. I'm like, all right. I got there. She's just in the office like.
Loving it.
She was doing your smile in the camera.
Yeah, basically.
Do you think she's made the connection between her not meeting their standards for behavior and getting to go home early?
Well, she doesn't want to go home. So as soon as I walked in, then she was, no, I'm not going home. She just wants to be in the office.
Okay.
Like, she loves that all the office ladies talk to her.
Yeah.
Because she likes adults better than kids.
Interesting.
So she's just like, well, if I go to the office, it's just
me. I get to
hang
out with my buddies. I see what Mildred's up with.
Yeah.
If you ask her, like, who's your best friend? She always tells you one of the teachers.
Oh, see, now the show just took a turn.
Yeah.
Because now it could take place at the school.
Yeah.
Where this kid just doesn't want to be around kids. She just wants to be around the adult.
It's a cartoon now.
And I'm terrible because they're like telling me what she did. I'm just like,
mm-hmm. That's funny, okay. Julia. Yeah. I mean, okay. Hey, Julia. Like,
hey, don't do that again.
Yeah, I didn't know you're not supposed to laugh when kids do really funny stuff.
Right.
Because they keep on doing it.
Yep.
That happens all the time.
And it's so hard because as a parent, you don't want to strip that of them, but we have to. So they can fit in society, I don't like that.
You just have to let them know that society isn't going to be okay with it, and that's okay.
Yeah,
society is a crumbling mess.
One time when my nephew Billy was really little, every time I came home,
how little was he?
He was probably third grade, okay. Second or third.
Yeah, glory years.
We were playing Uncle. You know the hand. You know you do that. Bend your hands back, bend your wrist back.
It's a different version of Uncle than I played as a kid.
How do you, you know what I'm talking about?
Wait, like a wrestling.
Whatever.
The Kempeterra feats of strength.
Right. So I was doing that. He came up and he grabbed my hands and I'd be like, right? Acting, playing, letting him win.
Yeah.
Well, he went to school and did it to everybody. And he's like, my aunt taught me that. And he was like, hurting kids.
Yeah.
And everyone was upset. And he's like, my Aunt Elle taught me that. And his mother was furious. I'm like, because my brother Billy picked him up, he'd be like, well, she's an idiot. Like, right. But it's my sister-in-law, Alex, that was like, well, I'm going to have a word with her. Like,
those kids, they probably were striving for greatness because of that. So in a lot of ways, he did everyone a favor.
Right.
Because it's
he showed
only
them
when
he's
you're
the strongest
challenged.
Kid in the class.
Exactly. It's only
There's
when you're challenged do people grow. That's why I'm happy about every person I ever bullied, you know? Because I helped them get through life. I prepared them for...
Were you a bully?
I mean, verbally, yeah. Not until I was probably middle school I started just really being like, you know what? Fuck this.
Yeah.
And then you just say whatever the fuck you want about anyone. And, you know, you bully popular kids as much as you bully nerds. You really spread the wealth.
Okay.
But it's just important.
It's equal.
Yeah. It's important you let everyone know. Fucking sometimes you got to show the hen who the rooster is.
Dirty work.
Yeah.
So good. Has there been a person as funny as Chris Farley since he's passed?
Absolutely not.
No, right? Like that guy was
well, we
just
talked about,
the
was it,
samurai of funny.
Yeah, and like a John Candy. Like they don't exist.
Nobody played.
Blah, blah, blah. Close your mouth.
So funny. Like I remember seeing Dirty Work in the theater and having no idea Farley was going to be in it, and it was such a gift.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why didn't you know he was?
He had passed away, and it was opening day.
Oh, I see.
I think like my dad forgot. And I went and saw it. Yeah, I think I left work early and picked up my dad, and we went to go see like the noon.
Wow.
Screening of it, like first, like that was part of our thing. Like if there was a movie we really wanted to see, you had to see it on opening day, like during the day,
right?
Before
That's
people
amazing.
Ruined it.
Well, here's the thing, Mitch. I live at the Y, as you know.
Right.
I got a roommate, old Jack, who's a little particular about who comes over. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Little off-putting. Sometimes I awake to find him staring at me in the dark. It's a little off-putting. Yeah, don't worry.
So great.
Just got his knee drained, too. That's good, because he was getting a little bit ripe in there. All right, I don't want to stay at your place.
So good.
He's like, but like, to me, they write things like that, right? And then they're like, they write it with him in mind, correct? Like, they have to.
I bet.
To,
well, I remember reading a book.
That rhythm
on,
is ridiculous.
Time to pay the fiddler, whore.
Like, I think he was just, I remember reading a book on SNL, and then they were like, whenever we had a sketch that didn't work, we would just type in Enter Farley. And I think so much he would just
do.
And I remember seeing the Farley brothers interviewed in the 90s about like comedy screenwriting. And they were like, Well, the secret to a hit comedy is if possible, you get to hire Bill Murray because he'll take 10 pages of the dialogue and be like, is this what you're going for? And then just improvise something 1,000 times funnier than you could ever imagine.
I pulled out way early on that one. That bitch is a stone-faced liar. It's one of the best lines in Kingpin.
Oh, yeah.
Bigger, so and what do you have to say about the accusations that you fathered a child? Who? What? Oh, that bitch is a stone-faced liar. I pulled out way early on that one. He signs in 318. Gives his room number.
Yeah.
But he's flirting in the restaurant. He's like, not you.
You.
That's just so funny.
No.
Well, I would watch those movies and be like, he's got to be improvising that. Like, this is so good. And he's so much better than mostly everyone.
Completely in the moment, completely free.
Right. So then does he get triple the pay? Because that's writing as well. Fuck. So good.
I said Munson to Munson. I can't wait to tell the guys about this.
It's the best movie. I could watch that on a so fucking good. Loop.
Yeah. Murray's one of those legendary ones.
He's on my Mount Rushmore funniest people ever.
Yeah, a lot of people argue with me over that.
Oh, Bill Murray. Nobody's funny.
I'm like, why?
Dude, I remember showing Corinne.
What about Bob?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Like, maybe 4 years ago, and she's like, what is this? I'm like, it's one of the most amazing movies that people
I still
want to
get one of those shirts that says, don't hassle me, I'm local.
Yeah. Someone in the audience, like 2 weeks ago, there was a couple, and I go, where'd you guys meet? And they go, well, we actually met at a Halloween party. And I go, oh, were you guys dressed up like idiots? He was like, yeah. Hey, what were you guys dressed as? He's like, she was a Ninja Turtle, and I was Bill Murray from What About Bob? And I go, were you wearing the Don't Hassle Me, I'm Local shirt? He's like, yeah.
He's like, pretty That's sweet. Awesome. They're going to have cool kids.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
When even Dreyfus, man, when he's in the corner, he's like, he can wear my slickers. Like, he...
Dude, the funny, like, that scene where he drops him off at the loony bin and they come to have him pick up, and he's like, roses are
he's
red.
He's driving away. He's so happy.
But Bill Murray's killing all the shrinks. Like, they're dying.
I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I.
You see the guys with the pads, like, it's so good. Because there's nothing worse than when you hate somebody and everybody else is loving them, and it just
it's the story of my life.
But it does work that fast. That's the magic of it. Last night he had me staying in his house, wearing his pajamas, using his toothbrush. Dreyfus gets so mad he couldn't find his toothbrush. Yeah, he's one of the best.
Oh, so good.
But there's no one like that I get excited to go watch right now.
I remember I was in high school and I actually got the balls up to ask this girl out on a date. And she was like, yeah, thanks, man.
Proud of
you. I was
like,
man, this is awesome. She's cute. This is going to be fun. And then so I was like, I'll just pick the movie so that way she knows I've got good taste.
Yep.
And I took her to go see Rushmore.
And fantastic.
After the movie, she was like, that movie was terrible. I don't even know what it was about. I was like, I'll just take you home. And it was like the best feeling in the world
you.
To just know, like, I asked her on a date and then...
She didn't get it.
Kick to the curb.
Yeah.
I don't got time
for
this.
It's a good litmus test.
If you didn't get what that was about, then it's time to go.
So good.
That movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no new Bill Murray, if you will, or no new any of those guys. Like, if Bill Murray's in a movie
get
excited.
And like, I'm not kissing comics' asses.
But
I think
like,
there's so
who's
many
your
great
favorite
stand-ups
comics?
Right now.
Yeah, there are great stand-ups.
If people start giving them opportunities to flex that comedic muscle in the right environment, they'll shine.
Yeah,
cast Bill Burr in a movie playing like an angry dad or something. It'll be iconic. It'll be the funniest thing ever.
Right, Quibi with two angry dads.
The problem though is that the industry
Rick and
is
Bill,
different.
Two angry
so
dads.
So fucking movie stars,
they don't really exist anymore.
Yeah, like people who were movie stars are now doing mini series is the new thing, or like you do a short show. Or are they just like they're putting what you. 10, 15 years ago, were movie stars and now doing
commercials.
But that's what the big episodes. Movie stars are doing shows on this Quibi thing, and they're 10 minutes long. Because we're not.
This is the short
format
bullshit.
We're not teaching
pandering
people.
Pandering to fucking millennials.
Right. We're not teaching people, hey, movies are an hour and a half or whatever. We're
garbage.
Like, oh, we'll just conform to what you are.
Dude,
so
this app is going to go the same 10
minute
way
attention
as
span.
CISO or whatever that bullshit was.
I don't know
I
about that. They're giving a lot
great,
of big money out.
Yeah.
I think if something's great, audiences will want it. Yeah. And I just think, like, I did go back and watch, I guess it was about a year ago, I went back and watched Revenge of the Nerds.
Excellent.
And the one thing that did stand with me, I went, oh, nobody knows how to write, direct, develop. They just don't know how to do it anymore. Like,
but you also can't. Like, there's just so much freedom in the 80s. Like, I watched Teen Wolf recently, and then it made me tweet. I was like, God, the only way I'm ever going to be successful in Hollywood is if I can figure out how to build a time machine and write a movie in 1983. Because there's a scene where Michael J. Fox is talking to Stiles.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
what are you looking at, Dick Nose?
He's like, I got to tell you something, Stiles. He's like, don't tell me you're a fag, because I don't think I can handle it if you're a fag. And he's like, not a fag, Stiles.
I was wondering once, tell him he's a werewolf.
He's a werewolf. He's a werewolf.
And I'm just watching, I'm just like, this would never fly now.
Yeah, but I think you could still be funny. Like, I think you just write it. You write what you want to write, and I think you find the right people,
like,
to do
it. Like, Old School was excellent.
Yeah, Old School was great.
Hangover was excellent.
I didn't like The Hangover. I liked Old School.
You didn't
like
Step Hangover?
No.
I love Step Brothers.
I think it's overrated, too. Step Brothers is great.
Step Brothers crippled me. I love Step Brothers. Was the last movie to cripple me.
Yeah.
Oh, I really liked MacGruber. That crippled me.
Oh, actually, MacGruber was good. I
so
like that.
Fun.
Not a fan.
Well, there it
like
is.
I like MacGruber, but... yeah, I think unless you already have star power, no one's going to let you get away with anything.
So Step Brothers was ridiculous.
Will Ferrell can get away with stuff because he's Will Ferrell. So it's like,
I didn't notice
they basically have wiped the Will Ferrell, Robert Goulet doing rap songs skit off the internet.
Why?
Because he dropped several N-bombs. And it just played on NBC back in the late 90s.
Wow.
It was him doing Robert Goulet. You're listening to Robert Goulet's The Coconut Bangers Ball. It's him doing crooner versions of rap songs. It's like, Papa, I like it when you call me Big Papa.
Please, that's amazing.
And he keeps dropping all the N-bombs from the song. And then just, nope, that was it. Notorious Big. But yeah, I just remember watching.
Such a great
like,
name too, Robert Goulet.
You can't say this. And sure enough, 15 years later, they were like, "We got to get that off the internet. I don't think that's good."
Yeah, people need to loosen up a little.
We got
to
close the internet down. It's not like Robert Goulet wrote the song or Will Ferrell.
Yeah, I mean, Goulet's a dead duck, so you know who cares if his his name is ruined.
Wasn't he on an episode of Alice?
Robert Goulet?
Probably. Yeah. He was
that's
the bad guy.
That's the name of the show. Wait.
He was a bad
Alice
guy.
Alice was the one about the diner in Phoenix with Vic Tayback.
And Mitzi used to call me Flo.
Perfect. Kiss my grits.
Kiss my grits. It was Alice it was called, not Diner. My brain
Alice.
Is dead.
Diner was the movie Barry
Diner
Levinson
was a movie, but I was...
set in Baltimore.
Dice was supposed to be in that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He went and auditioned like a million times for it. Wow. Just wound up... what's his name? They gave it to him because I can't think of his name. Gutenberg.
It was a police academy.
Steve Gutenberg.
He was in it, right?
Legend, Goots.
Yeah.
And so I believe he was managed by the same people that were producing it. Mm. It was something along those lines. But I mean, it was like it was his.
Look, when the movie comes down to Dice or Gutenberg, you know they're willing to go a couple different ways.
Or was it Reiser? It was one of them. One of them that got in and Dice didn't get in. But he goes, it was better without me. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Wow.
That you can say that. He goes, no, I love the movie. But it was before he was even the Dice character. It was before, like, it was when it
was
one of
Dice
his first years.
Pretty in Pink.
Yes. It was one of his first years out here. Like,
that's
just
cool.
Can you imagine that? Like,
I've never auditioned for a movie.
I've
I just saw read that thing about
I've never either
Eddie Murphy
movie. Only
talking
TV
about,
shows.
He's only ever had one audition his entire life, and that was for Saturday Night Live.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Everything else was just offered to him because it's always based on him since he's always the star.
Yeah, and deservedly so.
Yeah,
right.
Like, that guy's freakishly talented.
Yeah,
but like right now, who's your favorite comic working?
Stand up.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Dead air. That's Holtzman's
podcast. Well, there's
podcast.
Three. There's three comics that work this room consistently that I'll drop everything and go watch.
Okay.
Bill Burr.
Okay. Yep.
Sebastian.
Nice.
And Joey Diaz.
Nice. That's an interesting lineup. I found a great picture of Dice and Sebastian. I was like cleaning something out and I sent it to Sebastian and he just wrote back, wow. Because it's so ridiculous. Like, I wouldn't even put it on the internet ridiculous.
Right. I think those are the same three I would say.
They're great.
Yeah, that's a good... that's a good,
and
like,
they all approach comedy in their own unique way, and they're all brilliant, and they're all hilarious by being completely themselves.
Mm-hmm. Some of these younger comics, or younger, newer, I don't want to say young, because some of them are like older, but they're newer.
Yeah, they just haven't been doing it as long.
Right.
And Tim Dillon's funny.
Tim Dillon's great.
I've never seen him do stand-up, but he's my favorite person on the internet.
Oh my God, his stand-up's great too.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I watched him just
rip. Dude, he's hilarious.
He was doing crowd work to a lady in a wheelchair like a month and a half ago, and it was fucking amazing. Just not holding back at all.
It's great.
It's the best.
So we're all wondering what exactly happened. did you ever have working legs? She's like, yeah.
Fat James.
She's like, yeah, car accident. He's like, oh, thank God. We're all hoping car accident. So
when
you know
Fat
what
James
had.
Asked that guy that was had that rare bone disease. You know that story,
oh,
right?
Oh my God. Let's tell it again, because I
don't want to tell. I mean,
it's the feet thing.
Yeah, the pickle feet guy. When Fat James, and the guy was very sensitive about his condition, and he just looks at. There's a lull in the conversation. And he looks at the guy and he goes,
"Was he on stage?
No, this was the coffee shop, and I ran away from him.
Well,
I'm
going to
start
Tim
telling the story
on stage." So go ahead. What happened?
Yeah. Well, Fat James did that, but I'm saying he did that in real life. He asked a guy who was clearly dealing with some things outside of the potential of an accident, putting him in a chair.
Right, right.
He had a tiny little body.
Yeah.
And James asked him, what was it that put him in the chair? And my buddy Wheels just looked at me like, is this dude? And he goes, what do you mean, what happened? And he goes, how'd you get in the chair? And he goes, I'm a birth defect, you stupid motherfucker. He was like, you're right, Steve. This guy doesn't deserve to have friends. Like, and he's in his motorized chair, knocking over all the chairs in the coffee shop.
Trying to get away from
James.
Him. Yeah, yeah.
Because he was so sensitive about it.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, James, what did you do? He's like, what do you mean, what did I do? I was curious. I go, you can't. And he goes, I go, James, didn't you see? And he was like, well, my cousin Louie's in a wheelchair because he fell off a ladder. I go, how high would the ladder have to be, James?
For the guy to get
this as big. He just couldn't.
He's a torso and a head.
He couldn't make it.
He was hoping he was going to be able to relate. Oh, my buddy fell off a ladder, too.
Exactly.
What a coincidence.
My cousin Louis fell off a ladder.
He literally was looking for some kind of connection.
Yeah.
You got it.
Making connections with wheelchair people. Hey, Wheelie, how did you get where you are?
Oh, God.
That would be so awful. Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot about Fat James. I thought you meant at least he was doing it on stage. But now that you say it, I remember.
Sorry about your condition. You want to come over and do Belushi night? We'll order pizzas.
I got
watch all the Belushi movies.
Wasn't it donuts that he left outside your door?
Ever.
Yeah. I love that.
Ingram, stop at Burger King. Why am I stopping at Burger King? Can I get 3 triple cheeseburgers?
Man.
I ate an extra cookie tonight, and I felt sick. I can't imagine. 3 triple cheeseburgers.
That's what he got. He asked me to take him home because his car was in the shop or something.
With the doo-wop plates. How great was Fat James? God rest his soul.
With the hair.
Never a fan.
Chips Keebler. You were never a fan?
No. Drove me insane. No one was shittier to me when I started working here. Like, he was legit, like, thought he was the fucking, the man. Like, this was a frat. And I was the new guy that needed hazing, and he would constantly give me shit, then look around like, right, guys? And everyone's always just like, oh, man. Hey, Ingram, why don't you go down to Carney's and get me 2 burgers and some fries on you?
Well, I really think he was influenced a lot by pop culture. Like, the first time
What? Pop culture?
Yeah, like watching like bad
80s movies.
Because
okay.
Like the first time I felt bad for him. And I'm like,
you feel bad for people.
Yeah, I do. And then I took him to Carney's and he was like, don't you want some ketchup on those fries? And I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put ketchup on my fries. Why don't you use this one here? And I'm like, all right, man. And the ketchup didn't come out. I just squeezed it once and it didn't come out. And he was like, I put paper in it. I put paper in it. We're already having laughs. And then here's the other sitcom thing he did. I shit you not. When we moved, he did. No, when we were looking at apartments, he was like, before we walked into that apartment, he goes, we got to come up with a system in case one of us has a chick in there. And he goes, what we're going to do is put a tie on the doorknob, and that means take it on the arches. I was like, James, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. There's never going to be a girl willing to fuck either of us sharing a one-bedroom apartment.
Oh,
it's never
going
to happen.
I remember that he would try and get you to come watch TV with him by laughing extra hard.
Oh, he would do that all the time with me.
That's what I'm saying. I remember to be like,
James, I'm not going to watch it. No, I don't watch it. I'm just saying you're missing it. It's so good. And then he honestly did tell me this once. He was like, there's this show called Friends. I'm like, I know what it is. I'm never watching that show. He's like, okay, suit yourself. And then he was doing the loud laugh. He was doing the loud laugh. And then he pops into my bedroom and he goes, you really should come see this show because it reminds me a lot of us.
Friends.
And I'm like, he goes like this. He goes, because there's two characters on the show that are me and you. There's this guy named Joey. He's really good looking and he gets all the chicks. That's me. Then there's this other guy, Chandler, who's smart, but everybody thinks he's gay. That's you. But somehow they're best friends, just like us. I was like, what has my life become?
He really was a Joey, though, if you think about it, in his mind.
I could just hear him going, how you doing?
Ingram, I'm not taking shit from you anymore. I just did a Sherman Helmsley movie, and my career is fine.
Hanging in Hedo.
God. What?
It was called Hanging in Hedo.
Is this a real thing?
It's a real movie starring Sherman Hemsley.
Yeah. He told me constantly. I'd be like, shut up, Fat James. He'd be like, you know what? I don't have to take shit from you because I just did a Sherman Hemsley movie and my career is fine. And I'd be like, all right, man. You're still parking cars. Get the fuck away from me. God. What happened to you? We were buddies. We were never buddies.
We were friends. Da-na-na-na. I can't think of the theme song. Is that how it goes?
You could be Ross. You know? Don't you want to be Ross? So me and Steve are already Chandler and Joey.
So funny. I do remember Eddie Murphy was always nice to James. This has been an Eddie Murphy conversation, but he would always ask him about his dad and give him $100.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He tossed $100 anytime he came here.
Yep.
Very nice. Very nice. I remember Dice was going to take him on the road or something. Called him Chips Keebler.
Junior? Chips Keebler Jr. was the full
name. Wasn't there another Junior? Something else.
Because
Nipsey Russell Jr.
I don't know, but I just remember.
Called him Nipsey Russell, too.
He gave James like a painting of Vegas that lit up. Like there was lights in the painting. And he signed it in silver pen. And it was to Chips Keebler Jr. That should be a name.
Remember Ari's impression of Fat James that he used to do on stage?
No.
It was the fucking best. He'd be like, James would go up, do his fucking sit. You ever see these old ladies at Subway doing the old lady shuffle?
He did that when he showcased for Mitzi.
Yes.
Get him on.
Get him out of here.
I don't know why she didn't like my set. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was the 2 minutes of...
out of here.
The 2 minutes of old lady jokes that didn't go over well.
I remember once I'm driving Mitzi home from here and James just comes in the window just kissing her ass. And she's
the worst thing to do to Mitzi.
Right, and then she's like, you live with that? And I go, yeah. And she's like, she loved it.
Oh my God. She goes, poor thing. Huh?
She goes, well, the industry does like characters. And then she has her toothpick. But then she looks at me and she goes, but he won't get any help from me.
Classic.
Classic Mitzi.
Well, he's not getting any help from me, that's for sure.
Remember when she fired him because she said he made the cars stink?
Oh.
Which, you know, she wasn't wrong. It's just impressive that her sense of smell was still around at that point.
Oh, man.
What
I
years were they?
That was from 2001 through 2000. Ooh, no, wait. Spring of 2002 through fall of 2006. Is when I lived with him.
Okay. To 2006. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I left here in 2005.
Well, he got fired from here in, I want to say, 2004.
Well, I got him another job as a telemarketer, and the name of the company was called Realty Tracker.
You're a glutton for punishment. I can't.
He would bring it. Like, he really did must. He must. He was so influenced by, like, 80s movies where he's like, obviously, I'm the office fat guy, so I'm going to bring in cookies and milk. And he would eat cookies on the phone, and he would talk louder than everybody else in the thing. And he didn't know the name. It was a real estate company. It was Realty Tracker. And he'd go, I'm calling from Reality Tracker. Maybe you've seen our ads on Goggle or Yahoo.
Goggle.
I'm not lying.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, we had this real idiot sales manager guy. I only lasted, like, 3 days when they brought in a real sales manager for it, because the guy was the worst. He was the worst.
So you worked there as well?
Yeah. And then, like, the guy was like, okay, we're going to, like, he was trying to make it, like, a competitive, but the guy was the worst. And he was like, every time you get a sale, I want you to ring the bell. And I never did that.
Okay.
So I had like 4 sales that day or whatever. 3 hours later, I see Fat James take his and he just goes like this. He gets up and starts swinging it like Homer Simpson in the parade. Like, here he yeah, was. Everything was the best. Here's another great one. Like, Fat James, I'd be so happy when I got to leave LA and go home. And he'd be like, oh, you got pictures of everybody at the store? You got pictures? And I was showing him pictures of my family. He's like, how come you look so happy in those pictures, but you're never happy here? And I'm like, well, do you really want me to tell you the truth?
Why do you have so much fun there without me?
Oh, my God.
I should come home with you one time.
Joey Cerise at James's memorial. He was hysterical. Like, Steve, it would really mean a lot to everybody if you could get up there and maybe say a few words about James. And I'm like, Joey, I'm just here to pay my respects. And he was like, how about this? Put somebody else up. And then, look, I'm sure you got great stories. It would mean a lot. You know, and I go, all right, I'm going to do it. It's like 2 people go up and he's like, did you change your mind? And I go, yeah, I'll do it. And he goes, okay, great. I'm going to bump Frankie. I'm going to put you on next. And he goes, all right, ladies and gentlemen, this next comic lived with James. And you hear everybody in the audience go like this, go, ugh. I'm not kidding. And he goes, he lived with James for 4 years. Isn't that right, Steve? 4 years. This man is a saint. You hear everybody in the audience just go, oh my God, how did you live with him for 4 years?
Did you give a speech? Like, how hard was that?
I told the donut story.
The donut story is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I just didn't like the guy.
I get it.
That's all I can think about. It's just
I can't think of how I felt one way or the other.
I remember once when we were in the middle. Like,
he did annoy me a lot.
Yeah, that's what he was.
And then stopping at Mitzi's unannounced drove me crazy.
He would do that?
Yes. And then Paulie brought him in for the...
TV show?
No. Worse than that. We had an intervention on Mitzi. And
Fat James is one of the people there.
Paulie invited him because he
wanted
finagled his way into
yeah.
Paulie's life. You know how Paulie would come
dude,
in.
Dude, you can buy me dog food if you want, bro. Wouldn't that be fun, dude?
But Paulie was kind of like so upset and didn't know how to handle this. But Mitzi wouldn't let us. Every time we brought a nurse, she would fire them.
Oh yeah,
remember it was awful. We took us a long time to find what's his name. And now I can't think of his name.
Alfred.
But Alfred, thank you. And so we would bring people. Juan Carlos drove an hour and a half to get some lady. She brought her back. Jamaican lady. She had big red lips. Remember the lipstick?
Once she had me kick everybody out of her house.
A million times she had me do that. That poor kid who re-showcased.
Oh, God, yeah.
She would kick them all out.
Mikey
get them out of here. What?
Oh, yeah.
She had Mike Romano.
Yeah.
Was her... Her runner or whatever for a while.
Yep. Hey, Mitzi, when you're trying to pass a comic,
what do you look for?
And then I remember Mitzi just taking the toothpick out and looking at me like, I'm not going to tell you, stupid.
She did love her little toothpick.
Yeah.
Her little toothpick.
He's like, we're going to check.
He goes, and I remember Mitzi saying this. And at the time, I was like, is that possible? And now I go, of course. She was like, I can just take a look at you. And know if you got it or not.
Yeah.
I don't even need to see you on stage. And now I'm like, yeah, I could tell. Like, if somebody shows up here, I'm like, they're not funny.
Yeah.
You can just feel it.
You can totally feel it.
Especially if they're trying. Anyone who's trying is the worst ever.
The worst.
Never try.
Too hard.
Just be.
Yeah, just be or don't be.
Especially
to be or not to be.
Yeah. You can try at the other clubs, but if you show up here and start trying to be funny, you're immediately just going to
just annoying.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
God, there's so many people that'll just come over the hallway like, hey, and, you know, and you're like.
That desperate energy.
You just want a machete and just take their heads.
Yeah.
Is that bad? I got to get
some
therapy.
I cut the head off
the
devil and I serve it to you.
I got to get some therapy.
Yeah, you do.
I know. Do you go to therapy?
No.
Rick, do you go to therapy?
Is this
your
therapy?
I love this. My favorite Rick, Julia, is when she locked him out.
That's perfect. Please tell me the story.
I went out back to water the plants, and she was like, almost two or something. And I took it's sliding door. And I took the bar out, whatever, and I just propped up next to the window and opened the door. And then I closed it so she wouldn't, you know, come out. She's like standing there at the glass looking at me. And then I turned around and I just hear it. I turn around. She's just standing on the other end looking at me, and the bar is, she's knocked the bar perfectly into place. So I just locked the door, and I'm like, oh, fuck. This isn't good.
Was she laughing? Did she know what she did?
She thought it was great. She didn't know that she locked the door, but she knew that she knocked the wood pole over, and that made a loud bang, and she was loving it. And I'm just like, well, no.
She had her face, like, on the screen.
Yeah, she was smashing her face against the screen, looking at me. I'm like, all right. Then I had to call a locksmith, and then Corinne sends me a text about something. I'm like, well, I'm outside right now.
Imagine.
Just got locked out. She was like, is Julia hot? And I'm like, no, because she's inside still.
What? That's the pilot episode.
That's what we started with.
Yeah, that's the pilot episode.
And it's like, God damn it.
I need a funny set piece. Then, okay, yeah, we'll start with
here that. It is. Yeah. That was the thing that propelled it. And then I remember like talking to Danish and O'Neill about it. And they were like, oh, so it's like Daddy Knows Best. And I'm like, no, it's not. Yes, kind of, but no.
Yeah.
A little different.
This one wouldn't have Jade in it, so.
That's a sin.
That's right.
Jade was great. But
they killed her off.
They did kill her
for
off.
A reason.
But it was funny. It was like Jade was, you know, the normal mom, whatever, and then Steve was the dad who would always get in fucked up situations. But in this situation, Rick's technically the caretaker. Like,
yeah,
the wife goes to work. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it is a little different.
It's like Mr. Mom.
I say it's Mr. Mommy.
Man, John Hughes was a genius.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. I love Mr. Mom.
I'm hot as shit. Guys.
We're going to make it Mr. Rick. What?
I said I'm hot as shit right
now.
Yeah,
let's go.
It is hot. All right. You guys are the best. Thank you. Thank you, Steve, for doing
this.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. So we're here. Come to a show at the Comedy Store. Steve, you have any dates to plug?
Calgary, March 20th and 21st, and the Arlington Draft House, the 27th and 28th.
Very nice.
Brea Improv, April 22nd.
Excellent. That's great. Leave that door open for a second. Thank you. And then always come to the Comedy Store to see live shows.
See me.
Rick Ingram's here.
I restarted my old podcast, too, so you can check out Embrace the Hate.
Did you really? I'm so proud of you.
On all the podcast formats.
You should do it at all things.
Yeah, probably not.
Anyway, I'm going to Uncle Vinny's with Dice, but it's probably sold out, so fuck him. Just kidding. Two chances to see me in Philadelphia, Delco area, Steve.
Nice.
Gatsby's Bar and Grill on March 19th. I will put it up on my website.
What borough is that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's my brother Johnny. And then DeFabio's again I forgot the name. It's Springfield. Yeah. And it's all on my website. So go there or Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. I put it up. Josh, do you have something to promote?
Yeah.
Oh, Josh is here because he has something to promote.
All right. Civilianization Podcast on iTunes, everything, wherever podcasts are. And it was awesome to have you on not too long ago. Steve Simone was on.
You had
about,
Steve on the civilianization.
Yeah.
Very
we're talking
nice.
About Africa and bad places over there that he's done comedy for
bad
the troops.
Bad places, racist.
Oh, I like it.
And we just posted Freeze Love, and
Freeze is so good. And go see nice Freeze's show. When is it? March 12th.
12th. Yeah.
Yeah. Where Freeze Love, look on his website or on Instagram, anything like that. Freeze Love is doing a show. He's absolutely brilliant. You're right, my thing. That was Rick's stomach. So yeah, DeFabio's is March 20th, 7:30, and that is the Rose Tree Room. So please go and check those out. Philadelphia, go check out Josh's podcast. Come here, check out Steve's podcast. What's the name of your podcast again? Good Times. Good Times. Okay, thank you guys. Bye.
Thank you.